Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 68. Psalm 68. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, and let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be glad, let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exalt before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He bleeds out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when thou didst go forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah. The earth quaked, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou didst shed abroad a plentiful rain, O God. Thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was parched. Thy creatures settled in it. Thou didst provide in thy goodness for the poor, O God. The word gives, the Lord gives the command. The women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host. Kings of armies flee, they flee. And she who remains at home will divide the spoil. When you lie down among the sheepfolds and are like the wings of a dove covered with silver and its pinions with glistening gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings there, it was snowing in Zalmon. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you look with envy, O mountains with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired for his abode? Surely the Lord will dwell there forever. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as at Sinai in holiness. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captive thy captives. Thou hast received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation, Selah. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. Surely God will shatter the head of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who goes on in his guilty deeds. But the Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may shatter them in blood, the tongue of your dogs may have its portion from your enemies. They have seen thy procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went on, the musicians after them, in the midst of the maidens beating tambourines. Bless God in the congregations, even the Lord, you who are of the fountains of Israel. There is Benjamin, the youngest, ruling them, the princes of Judah in their throng, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Your God has commanded your strength. Show thyself strong, O God, and has acted on our behalf. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring gifts to thee. Rebuke the beasts in the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. Trampling underfoot the pieces of silver, he has scattered the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. Selah. To him who rides upon the highest heavens, which are from ancient times, behold, he speaks forth with his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His majesty is over all, is over Israel, and his strength is in the skies. O God, thou art awesome from thy sanctuary. The God of Israel himself gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God. Amen. It's been a long time since we did such a long psalm, so I can't go over the whole thing in this time, but I'll just highlight some things here. And so this is a psalm of David. In many church traditions, this psalm was read and sung during Pentecost, during that particular season. This is alluding to the Ark of the Covenant coming back into Jerusalem. And so when you see in verse 24 about the procession with the instruments and the singing, and so that's the historical context of the event that's taking place here. And you could see, I think Psalm Probably Psalm 24 is probably another really beautiful psalm about the Ark of the Covenant, what they call the resting present glory of God coming into the holy city. But the psalm it's quite powerful. It's got a lot of different aspects of God. So we'll start from the beginning. It starts off and it says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish before God." This is actually a direct quote. Most of this is a direct quote of David in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, particularly 10:35. And this would be a very famous rallying cry for the Israelites. And this word that David speaks, obviously he picks up again in this psalm. And this would have been very familiar to the Jews. They would have very much understood that this is the God of war, that God is going to come. And you can see some of these things as he's talking about the enemies, as smoke is driven away. Smoke, when it hits the atmosphere, it dissipates. It eventually disappears. We see that, and this is a really beautiful picture, as wax melts before the fire. Wax is hard, and the enemies seem very hard. They seem like they're indestructible in a certain way, but as soon as they get into the presence of God, what happens? They start melting. And all of a sudden, this very formidable, seemingly hard, strong, entity is now actually just melted away before the presence of God. And so we see all these different scenarios, but it's the God of war. It's the God that goes before the people. And so the idea that David is saying, Lord, like, we are powerless to fight this enemy. You need to go before us, and you need to do this, is this idea. So it was a rallying cry. By the way, there have been many generals all throughout history that have quoted Psalm 68 before they went into battle. Cromwell is known to have cited this. A lot of different generals throughout history, because it's a rallying cry. You can imagine, Lord, let the enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. Let as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire. You can see this is like kind of, if you're a soldier and you hear something like this, you get pretty pumped up about it, knowing that God is going before you in battle. So we continue on. So let the righteous be glad and let them exult before God. Yes, let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exult before him. And so because we have this warrior God, this warrior king that goes before us into battle, and so we basically just like walk behind him as he does his deeds. And so what should that allow us to do? It should allow us to praise God. We should be so excited. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's sing. Let's exalt before God. And let's lift up our voice. But then it takes a turn. So you have God as warrior. And so you have this picture. And then you have God as gentle father. So the next one, he's what? The father of the fatherless, and a judge for the widows, it's literally the judge of the widows. In other words, he's going to make sure that their rights are heard in society. I mean, just like even we have in our society right now, widows, marginalized people, they don't have many rights at all. And so he's saying that I am the judge. I'm going to give righteous results for the marginalized, for the widows. And this is God in his holy habitation. This is God who he is in his heart. He makes a home for the lonely. We'll see this in Proverbs. We'll see this passage in other areas of Psalms that God, he makes the home for the lonely, or it could also be translated as the orphan. And so he's a father of the fatherless. He is the judge for the widows. He's fair and righteous. And he's God in his holy habitation. He makes a home for the lonely. By the way, many of us that maybe attended the parenting seminar, we just finished, or heard of the Glovers. They have a ministry called Care for Children, which I'm actually on the board of trustees. And it's this verse that really inspired him to go to China and to help the Chinese government deal with their orphan issue and basically institutionalize. And his whole, I mean, I, that's why I just love the simplicity of it. You know, it was just kind of like, well, the Bible says that the orphans, they belong in families. They don't belong in institutions. The state is not responsible for the welfare of our orphans. It's the families, it's people. Families are responsible for the welfare of the orphans. And so he just developed this plan to basically put kids in institutions and place them in families. And we know over a million Chinese babies and kids were put into foster families, loving families. And it's all drawn out of verse 6. Why? Because God makes a home for the lonely, for the orphans. And we see how this happens. And why his plan was ingenious is he didn't take them away from the resources of the government. And so they were all part, like in other Western nations, if you adopt a child, you lose all the benefits of the state. But he developed a system where the state also contributes, and then the families also take care of. And it's just really a beautiful hybrid. And like I said, it's all from this. He makes a home for the lonely. It's such a beautiful thing. And he leads out the prisoners into prosperity. We see in the New Testament, another passage, a better way of saying that is simply, he sets the captives free. He sets the captives free. Let me see. Okay, let me give you a really cool one. Verse 11, okay? All you ladies in the house, this is a powerful, powerful word. It says, the Lord gives the command. He gives the probably better translation, he gives the word. So the Lord is speaking the word, and who are the ones that proclaim it? The women. The women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home will divide the spoil. When you lie down among the sheepfolds, you are like the wings of a dove covered with silver and its pinions with glistening gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings there, it was snowing in Zalman. Snowing in Zalman just could be referred to like such destruction that was like ashes, you know, that looks like snow in this way. But look what the Bible says. This is a powerful passage. And people ask, can women preach? Of course they can preach. Of course they can preach. The scriptures are so clear. The Lord gives the word, and the women who proclaim the good tidings are a great host. There's going to be the word host is really a probably better translation as an army. In other words, what the psalmist is envisioning, he's envisioning an army of women preachers. And this army is going to be so powerful. There's some allusions, you know, they stay at home, they lie down among the sheepfolds. Really, probably better translation is the cooking stones. You know, in other words, they seem like they're just, you know, like normal women, but they're a powerful army of God. There's some allusion, and I heard this teaching years ago, and there's this idea, there's another passage as well that speaks to it in the Psalms, and there's this idea that this army, this army of women preachers are kind of in hiding in a little bit. They lie down in the sheepfolds, and God's going to call them to rise up one day, and it might usher in the end time revival. Now, some Christian historians, they've alluded this passage, they've alluded to actually, this is going to sound a little controversial considering the environment that we're in these days, but it could be referring to Islam. And the reality is, if women in Islam, if they begin to rise up, you know, against the tyranny, Islam could be pretty much, you know, like done, you know, within a very short time. I know that's a very controversial statement. I'm not saying, you know, that's well, okay, I just said it anyway, so it's out there. But man, it's a pretty powerful thing when you think about this. And imagine, you know, think about one of the most marginalized group of people that's out there, and imagine they rise up and they start proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming God's word. You know, like, think about it. In the New Testament, it's not a coincidence that the first people that testified of the resurrection were women. You know, it's not an instance that the first people that shared to some of the churches, you know, this important teaching were women. And there's something very significant about that. And there's going to be, I mean, really this army that rises up that maybe a little dormant right now, but when God blows a trumpet or something, some I don't know if it's an event that takes place, but something happens where this army begins to rise up. They were lying down among the, now they begin to rise up. And when that happens, it says their wings are like a dove covered with silver. I mean, it's like kind of the picture of, like, you know, little chicks under the wings, and then they rise up. It becomes this incredible force that happens as pinions with glistening gold, and they're going to do incredible damage to the kingdom of darkness. I think it's going to happen. I mean, I believe this passage. That something really significant is going to happen on the earth, and it's going to relate to an army. I mean, a global army of female preachers. They're going to preach the word of God with such authority, with such power, and I believe revival is going to come. I'm in that boat. I think that what huge part of that, they're going to usher in the end time revival. And then 15, this is just talking about, so now the kind of the setting turns a little bit. And so he's talking about Jerusalem. He says the mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. This is kind of in the Golan Heights, if you know Israel a little bit and stuff. And, but he's basically saying, but God, you know, this is like the humility of God. Bashan is the mountain of God, one of the highest peaks there, but God has chosen this little hill called Jerusalem to dwell. And so that's why he says, why do you look with envy, O mountain with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired for his abode? And this speaks to the humility of God. Yeah, he could have been on this huge mountain. It seems like it's the mountain of God, but yet he chose this little hill. In the very same way, I mean, you know, he could have chosen the Roman Empire or whatever it may be, or the Mesopotamian Empire, you know, all these. But what? He chose the Israelites, this small little group of people. It's this humility of God to always look upon kind of the lowly and the weak in that way. And then what does he do? He lifts them up before the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who barely bears. Oh, go on. Okay, I'm running out of time. And like I said, 24, they have seen thy procession, O God, the procession of the God. This is talking about the Ark of the Covenant coming into the holy city, and people rejoice. And so they're singing before the Lord, and they're strengthened. And this is like a major celebration that's taking place in there. Okay, so let's close our eyes. I know there's a lot in this passage, but I'll try to. I mean, the one that really speaks to me a lot is verse 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. I think most of us, you know, we, like, home life, some of us have been really blessed with an incredible home life. You are the exception and not the rule. Father issues, mother issues, in-law issues. You know, the home, which is meant to be the place of safety, the place of rest, has a lot of times been the place of a battlefield. But God says that He is the Father of the fatherless, that He steps into all these places where there's hurt and there's wounds. And so when we get that revelation, you know what allows us to do it? It allows us to forgive our dads. It allows us to forgive our moms. It allows us to forgive our in-laws, because we find such security and love and warmth in the Father's arms. And when we get so filled with the Father's love, even if there was a human father love or mother love deficit, God fills that space. And so allows us to forgive. And it inspires us to be better fathers and better mothers. He is the Father of the fatherless. I know many of us are fatherless, motherless, on many multiple levels. If you're dealing with that today, either here, if you're listening online, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. He is your Father. He is your mother. It doesn't erase away all the pain, but it soothes and allows us to become free. As Annie leads us in a song of worship, we just meditate on that truth.
By with this thankful heart.
Let's pray. If you feel like that you've been fatherless or motherless, or you know, and the lonely, the orphan in some way, you're not alone. You have a home. You have a home not only in this body, but you have a home in the Father's arms, in the Father's house, where there's love and security and warmth and protection and provision. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let Him wash away all the pain that we've endured over the years and run into the Father's arms. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's lift up our friends and family that are battling through cancer, going through therapies and surgeries, and let's just pray for God's healing word. Just pray for His comfort and His power to heal them right now. Pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Thank you. pray over our community that's dealing with COVID, and let's also lift up our frontline medical workers, and let's pray for strength and courage and protection during this time. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for China this morning. Let's lift up our communities there in BJ and SH. Let's pray for the Chungs and the churches, lift up our pastors, and let's just ask for the presence of the Lord to really come and really lead our ministries there. Let's lift up our board. Let's just pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that God would give a lot of insight and wisdom in how to minister to this flock. Let's lift up. Pray for our fellowship ministries, for our men's and women's. Let's just pray for the gatherings that people will really connect with God and with each other. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for the building and resources, a benefactor for the Vision Fund to continue to grow, and God would eventually lead us to some place. Let's pray. Let's lift up our pregnant moms right now. Let's ask God's hand to be with them. Let's pray for the baby to be protected, and they will just have so much joy as they bring in. And looks like all the moms on this list are all first-time moms, and so I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of concerns, and let's just ask God for His peace to come over them. Lift up house churches tonight: Blue Pool, Chai Tea, Fortress, Gia, Lido, Lion Rock, New Condo, TSD, and Westfield. Let's pray for our leaders, pray for our hosts, either they're, you know, meeting in person or hybrid or only on Zoom. Let's pray that they would really fall deeper in love with the Lord and with each other. This morning, God, Lord, you are mighty in battle. God, you are a fierce warrior, and you go before us, God, before our enemies, God. But you're also the gentle Father. You're the Father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, God. And you set the lonely in families. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, that Lord, like I mentioned earlier, if there's any brokenness, God, in our relationships with our parents or whoever it may be, Father, Lord, help us to look to you, God, to find the security and strength in our relationship with you that allows us, Lord, to step into the place of healing, Lord. Thank you, God. We love you. Lord, watch over us today. Help us to give you glory in all that we do and say, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.